let me see what I can do here.
Sounds like...
Well, you guys can turn your cameras off unless... Otherwise, I mean, there's really not much point in it, I don't think. We're just going to do an audio here.
Is mine off?
Yes, it is now. I think it was trying to come on.
Okay.
Is Ren there? Hello.
Yeah.
Well, we are back once again discussing the weird and wacky world that we live in. A world that is becoming more insane by the moment. As Rem has just sent me this incredible InfoWars diagram that shows us mass and individual remote mind control via the mobile phone network and mobile phones.
Wow. Yeah, so that's something that Bill Steve sent to me, Carol's husband. He's in our group out here in Colorado, in our FIGU study group.
Yeah, this is right up our alley because we are going to be talking about this 5G network. I got a link from Marianne in Switzerland. She says, cover this on your radio show. It's very important. So we have been talking yesterday. Rem and I were discussing this crazy, these two crazy companies. One's called SES, which stands for Senior Executive Service. And SES gets contracts for another company called Serco. And evidently they have a plan to depopulate the world, which we kind of need to reduce our population, but I don't think we all want to be killed. So Serco, it's a company that does many different things. They build nuclear weapons, space manufacturing. They do immigration services. They're in hospitals, prisons. They do air traffic control. They handle patents. They even do Obamacare. There's nothing that this company doesn't do. It's not focused whatsoever. Sounds like someone's taking their car apart back there. I'm hearing a lot of background noise, guys, just to let you know. So.
Oh, really?
My mic is off, so.
Yeah.
How do you mute it? Maybe I'll mute it for until I have something to say.
Okay, that's good. Sounded like I was I don't know what I was hearing there. That was crazy. But anyway, SES is what gives Serco its contracts. SES is connected to British Aerospace Engineering and Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin controls much of the nuclear industry. The real mission of Serco, if you read it, is just flowery speech. It doesn't really mean anything. Serco also is into pathology, and I didn't even know what pathology is all about. It deals with testing of blood and human tissues. Serco plans to control and track human beings. They plan on putting chips into people, and we know Billy's talked about that before. These chips will actually control our bodies. These chips will be able to make us physically do things that we may or may not want to do. So, and it's Serco has a patent. It's called the Walker patent, which is this 5G thing. And 5G will result in 25,000 satellites that will rain down Wi-Fi energy on all of us. And the 5G is a shorter wavelength than microwave. And it can kill you if the watts are higher enough. And the lower wattage, it can alter your brain state. It can attack different parts of your brain. It can put you to sleep. It can cause you to forget. This 5G is crazy. It can do all sorts of things. They will use the 5G to kill people. Serco is there to manage the depopulation. And they want to get us the chips first so they can remote control us very easily. They can even cause our limbs to move the way they want to. They want to get this depopulation thing going. Their goal is 2025 to depopulate the world by 70 to 75%. Well, I'm all in favor of decreasing the world population, but not create a giant, incredible mass death. We're not going to do that. That's insane. CERCO will manage FEMA Region 9 in the United States. So let me bring you guys on. You can unmute or whatever. And I just want to hear some comments. Do you want to go first, Daniel?
Yeah, well, I was listening to that yesterday, too, on another show that you link it you sent me there. And, it's apparently not just a conspiracy theory anymore. You can actually look up the contracts and everything. So remove the tinfoil hat. It's no longer necessary. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I've
not
had
surprising.
Mine on for a while, my tinfoil hat, just to let you know. Okay.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, I was listening to it, and you're right. I mean, they do want to depopulate the world, but don't do it by killing a bunch of people. I think the best way to do it is to actually manage the births. Yeah. And that's the peaceful way to do it. And instead of breeding like rabbits until we all kill each other and go crazy. So I'm definitely with Billy on that one.
Let me get Rem in here. Rem, please comment. I know you're sending me all these files I'm looking at right now. Go ahead. Are you there, Rem? Okay, Rem just sent me a patent, and hopefully he'll... Are you ready? Jump in any time, Rem. It's called... it's a patent, the United States patent, nervous system manipulation by electromagnetic fields from monitors.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about this.
So this is another thing that Carol sent me a few weeks ago, and this is concrete proof that this is something that is not... fabricated by conspiracy theorists. And this is a real patent that you can look up. It's patent number, U.S. patent number 6,506,148B2 from January 14th, 2003. And so it says physiological effects have been observed in a human subject. This is the abstract. Mm-hmm. Physiological effects have been observed in a human subject in response to stimulation of the skin with weak electromagnetic fields that are pulsed with certain frequencies near half hertz or 2.4 hertz, such as to excite a sensory resonance. Many computer monitors and TV tubes, when displaying pulsed images, emit pulsed electromagnetic fields of sufficient amplitudes to cause such excitation. It is therefore possible to manipulate the nervous system of a subject by pulsing images displayed on a nearby computer monitor or TV set. So this is exactly something that Billy had said in a contact report, or maybe Pata had said it or something. I can't remember. But I remember reading this in a contact report a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. And that this is – and I remember it being kind of on the border of – well, I don't know, you know, I mean, I at this point, I trust what they say, but there's still stuff where I'm just like, I don't really know if that's plausible. I'll have to just put it in my little drawer of memories that I don't, you know, I'll just forget about those for the time being.
Yeah, the will see drawer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mental hold basket is another term.
For that.
Yeah. So you come back to it later. But this abstract is very interesting. It says, it is therefore possible to manipulate the nervous system of a subject by pulsing images displayed on a nearby computer or a monitor or a TV set. For the latter, the image pulsing may be embedded in the program material, or it may be overlaid by modulating a video stream, either as an RF signal or a video signal. And the image displayed on the computer or monitor may be pulsed effectively by a simple computer program. For certain monitors, pulsed electromagnetic fields capable of exciting sensory resonance in nearby subject may be generated as the displayed images are pulsed with subliminal intensity. So they could be doing, they're obviously probably doing this to us right now. I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, just look at the population and how deeply misinformed they are about so much. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's, you know, even conspiracy theorists.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially. And so it can be, it's just, yeah, it's, it, I'm amazed at how little people know and how disinterested they are in finding things out. They say, well, you know, I prefer getting my news from comedians and this sort of thing. Well, you know, those are on big, huge, you know, media networks, and you can bet that they're being told what not to say and what to say in certain respects as well. And
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't think they have the free rein to tell the truth on most things, and they probably don't even know it in their own minds anyway, and because they're so programmed to follow the media, and the media is owned by these crazy people. So it's rich people basically trying to convince the lower classes, you know, what to think.
Yeah,
exactly. So that's basically
nothing's going on here. Nothing's happening. Go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Ignore what you see right outside your door.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. So I'm going down in this patent, and on page 11 it says, and just in the first paragraph of the, it says background of the invention. It says the invention relates to the stimulation of the human nervous system by an electromagnetic field applied externally to the body. A neurological effect of external electric fields has been mentioned by Wiener in 1958 in a discussion, or Wiener, in a discussion of the bunch of the bunching of brain waves through nonlinear interactions. The electric field was arranged to provide, quote, a direct electrical driving of the brain.
Unbelievable.
And I wonder, so this was, this patent's from, 2003. And you said that Serco was in charge of, the patent office, right, Mark?
Yep, that's correct.
So I wonder when that, if they had anything to do with this in, 2003.
They probably did. And what's really interesting is it says something here about this apparatus. It works somehow with the circadian rhythms of the mammal, in which an alternating electric field applied across the head of the subject. Oh, my goodness. This is so devious. It's just on and on and on.
Yeah.
It's just.
And you had said something about the in your little introduction of Serco and their their plan to control people and to control people's limbs the consciousness of people. And what were can you read that list of things off again?
Yeah, let me read some of them. Okay, this is 5G. If the watts are high enough, they can kill you. The lower wattage can alter your brain state. It can attack different parts of your brain. It can put you to sleep. It can cause you to forget. It can kill people, like I said. And Serco's will be managing FEMA Region 9 in the United States, which I'm not sure exactly where that is. Maybe it's the area around California. Because they're talking about a big movement out of California. The people are going to be kind of driven out of California. But this 5G will remote control the brain of human beings, and they will put chips in our bodies that will allow them to control our limbs.
I guess they're trying to drive people out of California with weapons or weather weapons or something. I don't know.
Here, it says FEMA Region 9 is Arizona, California, Hawaii, Nevada, and the Pacific Islands.
My goodness. So that's probably who they're going to hit first, I guess. I don't know. I'm just purely speculating on this. But Serco is a British company. It deals with nuclear energy. The Queen of England is said to have what's called a golden share in these companies. So she's the controlling factor.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, I think America is still a British colony when you get right down to it. We may have won the quote-unquote Revolutionary War, but the
in all the, practical terms.
Yeah, the British bankers and the lawyers moved in, and the army left, and we're still under control. So, I mean, it's just that simple.
Yeah. No, I was I was watching QI. It's a TV show, and Stephen Fry is the presenter. Whatever, really fun show to watch. It's they just talk about QI is quite interesting, is what it means, and they just pick quite interesting topics, and then they bring a panel of four comedians, and then they just talk about things. But Stephen Fry is the or was the sort of the head guy, you know, distributing the information, talking and whatever, hosting the show, I guess, and. He mentioned a time with the Queen one time. I guess he was having dinner and the Queen was there and something. And everyone else had their dinner or something. And she was like, isn't anybody going to get me dinner? You know, like, what an attitude. What an attitude. Like, get your own fucking dinner. I mean, jeez.
Well, I'm sorry. Queen. I mean, she's probably never gotten
care.
Her own dinner in her whole
I don't
life.
Care. I don't care. It's just get a life. You have limbs, use them.
But what a perspective to have to be the queen.
Yes.
Of all
exactly.
people.
Exactly. And to actually wait, you know, expect it of people to, you know, get you this and get you that. I mean, goddamn, geez, just grow up. It's just such a childish attitude, I find. And really, I don't know, it just underscores kind of their attitude, I think, in many ways. And I think that, you know, if that's the people that are running this kind of thing, well, it doesn't surprise me that much, you know.
You know, as strange as some people probably think David Icke is, and obviously I don't agree with him on all points, but he has a very, very old lecture. And I like to listen to the guy. He has a very, very old lecture. It's a five-hour lecture. And what he says is that people came to the Earth from Mars, which is what the Meyer material says too. And he says they came out of the Caucasus Mountains near Turkey in that area. And the what they tried to do is when they spread out all over the world, they basically controlled the Earth. And they are the bloodline from that original people who came here. They interbreed because they want to hold that bloodline. So these, I mean, it's possible.
From Mars.
Yeah, just a, I don't know, you know, it's just a speculation.
Completely. When was that? That was, when was Mars destroyed? Do you remember that from the contact notes?
It's a few thousand years ago, eh?
It's more than 50, I think, because the Great Pyramid's 73,000 years old.
Right, okay.
And I think they built pyramids on Mars. Now, I think the people who were in charge or the planners of the pyramids were not from Mars, though. I think they were from, goodness, my mind.
Osiris or something?
It's right on the tip of my tongue. But it's much farther away than Mars. It's another star system.
Mm-hmm. Not Sirius?
Not Sirius, no. Anyway.
I thought it was Osiris, but yeah, maybe not.
No. Anyway. But anyway, but it's an interesting thought is what I'm saying. And Daniel, you were talking about comedy, and it's interesting. I think comedy is used as a weapon sometimes to control people's thoughts. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah. Well, you know, just look at the whole UFO industry. It's a huge joke. It is a huge joke, and it's meant to be because they don't want people – serious people to look into it very carefully. It's designed that way. Of course they don't want people looking at the Meyer case. Of course, that's why they never mentioned the Meyer case in any UFO conferences that you go to most of the time anyways, 99% of the time.
Right.
And so, you know, their only interest is to keep people away from the subject. Serious scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make these cases and it's all a joke. It's just... It's comedy. I would just classify it as comedy because it's what's the word? Ridicule is the most powerful weapon to turn people away from whatever you want them to turn.
Do you think those guys sit in a back room somewhere and kind of go over the modus operandi for in case people bring up the Meyer information during the conference?
Well, look at how many times they always quote, "Oh, intelligence agent, whatever, blah blah blah, ex retired, this that, and so on." I mean, yeah, might not be directly, but I bet you know a lot of those retired ex intelligence, whatever, blah 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 people, definitely, of course. Either that, or they've been sort of just programmed to think about that in that subject in that respect to begin with, but. It's been going on for such a long time. The conditioning is just unbelievable. Just say the word alien to somebody and they'll just look at you like you're crazy. You know, like it's just, you know, it just invokes a gut feeling of just, ugh, you know, like, oh, that's nonsense. Don't come to me with that subject. Don't even talk to me about that. I won't take you seriously anymore. You know, that kind of attitude.
You know, I think the term alien, in fact, is kind of a psychological warfare term because it's so inaccurate because What we really should be saying is extraterrestrial human.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, exactly. Same with alien, UFO.
Well, alien is also it's kind of brought on its own. It's become its own sort of thing. It's like a its own species sort of. It's like a green or gray with small body and big head and giant eyes.
Mm-hmm. Kills everybody. And, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like a. People think that that's like it's like a species, like an elephant is its own species, or like monkeys or its own sort of, you know. And then there's alien.
That's and like then there's illegal thing. Alien. So, yeah. So they sure that word sure gets a bad rap, you know. Like it's not used. It's never used in a positive way. And you know, I mean, even in the movie Contact with that Carl Sagan wrote. You know, they were joking about that, you know, going looking for green aliens and this and that, you know, like this, it's just that attitude is always there with that subject. And it's just so conditioned into people. You know, you look at the media and what they talk about when it comes to aliens. It's either they're here to destroy the world or it's comedy, you know, like except for a couple movies like back in the 70s and early 80s, like that, E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind, I think. That's probably the only two actual movies that I would even remotely consider even remotely close to the truth. not even that close, but still, you know, it's still more realistic than...
Those were both Spielberg, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if that was him kind of just trying to use his creative energy to go into a different direction. Because wasn't he the one who called Billy, apparently?
Yeah.
And wanted to make a story about his life and said that he was going to change it up just a little bit. And Billy declined. He was like, no, either if you're going to do it, just do it true to the way it happened, or just don't do it at all.
I see. Okay.
Have you guys ever heard of the little... They call it the Atacama humanoid that was found. Dr. Mm-hmm. Greer talks about it. Yeah, it's about 6 inches long.
Mm-hmm. And, was that in Russia?
No, it's a desert in Chile.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Yeah.
And, I mean, it's basically a human, but it differs from a normal, typical Earth human.
Mm-hmm.
It's also... like the elongated skulls that Brian Forrester finds. I mean, some of the research he's done shows that they're human, but they're different from us genetically. They're not a typical Earth human. So
yeah, they don't fit into any of the tree, you know,
genealogical.
Thank you very much. Yeah. yeah. And so at least to quite a large percentage. And so it's interesting for sure.
Well, even people like Dr. Stephen Greer have this mindset where we're human on Earth and everything else out there isn't human. And I think there's going to be this big... change of perspective on this.
Yeah, well, guess who put that out, you know, like that whole it was probably Hollywood that had a lot to do with that perspective, you know? So
sure.
Yeah. So,
well, then you got to get into like, what is a human, right? And we kind of assume that humans, we've always sort of assumed that humans evolved here because it's not just in the general mass consciousness that we could have been, that we could have came from anywhere else, right? So, but according to the Meyer information, the human beings have been around in the universe for a lot longer than even our planet has existed. Mm-hmm. And that the human being form exists all throughout the universe in various forms, but like mostly looks sort of the same. And mm-hmm. With just slight differences here and there, you might find someone that looks very much different than us, mm-hmm. But all possessing the conscious evolution of the consciousness capability. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm pretty confident that in the next few hundred years, people will start to really seriously consider that we didn't originate here. I think one of the biggest holes in the theory our evolution story is the fact that they say that human beings evolved really quickly all of a sudden. And I don't think that it's possible. I think everything moves at sort of the same. It seems like everything would probably move at sort of the same pace mm-hmm. with evolution, you know. And then for some reason with human beings, there's this giant jump in evolution at some point in this sort of distant past. Like what's distant, you know? So like a few thousand years ago, it's like we went from like the.
You're talking about. A few thousand years on this planet, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they if you go to any history class where they teach evolution, they say that human beings evolved slowly over time. They were monkeys, and then they became walking on two legs, and then all of a sudden, there's this giant jump in evolution, and then we're close to what we are now, and that just doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense. Seems like evolution would, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
so the human form is a lot older than we think, essentially.
If you look at what the whole information about Noko Damian, his spirit form is 9.6 billion years old. So 9.6 billion years ago, he was a human being on some world.
You have to also look at it from the perspective of how old is the universe. Well, we can only measure how old, like,
matter.
The oldest matter is. And the problem with that is that the matter is constantly regenerating itself. So I think the oldest material, I guess, matter or whatever in the universe, according to the Pleiaren, is like 38 billion years old or something.
Something like that.
And according to our scientists, it's like 17 billion or something that we've discovered. But obviously the universe has been regenerating itself constantly over and over again. And so measuring it from that perspective is just ridiculous. It just doesn't make any sense. But that's all our scientists can do. And so the universe is way older than any of those, any matter that exists in the universe. So,
I think it's 46 trillion years old.
Yeah.
Right now.
And it has a lifespan of 311 trillion years. So
did the Pleiaren say that it was 38 billion or 38 trillion, the oldest matter?
I think it's billion that they said.
I would have to look it up. I think it was like 45 billion or 38 billion or so. Yeah, I don't, you know, I'd have to look it up.
It wouldn't be in the trillions, that's for sure.
Oh, no. Yeah, and when you were talking about our universe expands for like 311 trillion or something like that years, and then it contracts the same amount of time, and then it goes into its next phase of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're talking eons that we can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so, the other thing I wanted to just say quickly is I don't remember the Warren star system in the Lyran galaxy. There's one place that Noko Damian was said to have visited or he was born from on the planet Sadar. It's like 3 1,800,000,000 light years distant from Earth.
Yes.
Okay.
Well. So it's like, that, and it was in a galaxy that doesn't even exist anymore because it's already dissolved into energy. That's how old it is.
I'd like to contemplate that. How old his spirit form is. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
I remember one interview where he was talking about that the other places where he had lived and the consciousness was so much higher.
Really?
He just had this look in his eyes. Like, it was just something we can't even imagine, you know? I just thought, wow, that must be so cool.
So, yeah. if you go on the Future of Mankind website and you search universe, you can see Dern universe, which would be our universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the Big Bang created our universe 46 trillion years ago.
Right.
According to as opposed to Earth scientists' estimation of 16 billion. And then approximately 1.5 trillion years after the Big Bang, the first solid matter came into existence. So approximately 40 trillion years ago were formed the first solid matter, it says. And well, actually that's different from what it says up here, because it says approximately 1.5 trillion years.
Mm-hmm.
After the Big Bang, the first solid matter came into existence. So that seems to be a discrepancy. But then it says 39 trillion years ago were formed the first hominid life forms.
This is astonishing. That is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. And then 40,353,607 original human races created by creation, and then 343 different skin colors. And then right now the Milky Way has 7.5 million human civilizations in it.
I think that has been updated too.
It could have been, yeah. But yeah, billions of races now exist in the universe.
Unbelievable. Isn't that amazing? What a different point of view that is than what we're taught. Can you imagine how insane, how inverted our point of view is? So we look at billions of stars and we say, we're the only life in the universe.
Who says that? Who says that, Mark? Nobody says that.
People need to know this. People really need to know this because once we know this, then we're not going to be like warring as much probably on our planet,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Racism won't exist, for instance. That would be a nice thing to get rid of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to be born into this planet again next lifetime, who knows what race you're going to be born into? So, hey, that's a nice thought to think about. So, if you're
40 million human races.
Well, that was originally originally created by creation. Now there's billions.
Yeah.
Wow.
Makes sense.
Wow. Yeah. That's astonishing. So I wonder how different they all look. Can you imagine?
Some probably have mustaches. And
some are probably 30 feet tall. Some are probably 18 inches tall.
Some are smaller than that.
I guess somewhere it was mentioned too that some live in like fire settings, like in like they are actually made of fire, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
seriously.
Yeah. I guess it was mentioned in one of the contacts. I think Billy met some or something at one point. I don't know. And
that's incredible. That is boggling my mind.
Wow. Don't want to shake their hand.
Yeah, no, exactly. Some live in the water, of course, and others live in this and that and so on. So who knows how life evolves, you know, genetically and so forth. I mean, according to the spirit form that really changes or alternates the direction, I guess, and or separates the two. So from human to non-human. So because it's a different kind of spirit form, right? The spirit form in the human being is one of never-ending evolution in the actual spirit form, whereas the spirit form in the animal and other is more of the physical evolution. And it's more of an instinctual sort of learning in the animal mind, and not as much of a creative, but I guess eventually as as the genetics of a planet, or I mean, of the animals on a planet, or the life forms, organisms, and so forth, increase to a point where it can sustain the kind of brain that would be required for the sort of evolution that you see in the human mind and the human spirit form, then that's what takes a lot of time to get to. But that's when that sort of process kicks off, I guess, eh? So that the food chain sort of is there to sustain, you know, animals need the plants and whatever, and so on and so forth.
You know, the one thing I was thinking about, we were talking about all those different human races. You guys remember the extraterrestrials that visited Billy that had touched one of the cars and the acid from their skin left the fingerprints in the paint?
Yep. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. When I was in when I was at the Semyazi Silver Star Center in 2012, I asked about that, and they said that they sold that car, or they got a new windshield for it. They got rid of it.
They would. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's kind of a bummer, you know. It's like I wish that they would have kept that. But then it also kind of speaks to the validity of the case even more, because it's like, oh, well, this is something regular for us. It's not anything special that we need to get tested or prove to anybody else. So,
yeah, exactly. There's a lot of that attitude. And, you know, I mean, they've got enough, way more than enough solid physical evidence that we can all sift through ourselves that, yeah, they don't need to keep putting it out there and
Have you guys seen the humanoid life forms known in the universe list?
No.
It says from the 469th contact in the from the 11th of August 2008. So are you interested in hearing about a few of these?
By all means.
Some of them off. It says humanoids, that's the first one, like the Plearan themselves and the Earth humans. And then amphiboids, people who resemble animals that live in the water. They live on land and in the water, like Asina and her people. Then there's the reptiloids, human reptilian forms with the skin covered with scales. And that's the one with a lot of conspiracy theories revolving around it that are basically meaningless.
Can we talk about that for a little bit? Because I want to bring that up, because I remember, I think it was when I went to Munn's Park and I was talking during our meeting in Munn's Park in Arizona, I think I was the only one there that had read across this. And they were of the opinion that the Maya people say no, reptilians don't exist, but the fact is they do exist, right?
Just not in the form that Ike talks about, obviously.
I think you could probably make a distinction between this a semantic distinction from the reptiloids and reptilians, because reptilians has kind of gained its own sort of meaning amongst various groups of people, and reptilians is synonymous with like people in the government who are like George, you know, like George Bush, or the Queen is a reptilian, or whoever else is a reptilian, or like Hillary Clinton. No, they're people. They're just deluded. You know, they're not reptilians. But they're reptiloids. Would maybe be different than reptilian. I mean, you could probably argue that it's the same thing, but I think
is this contact 469?
Yeah.
Okay. And what line are you on right now? I'm just trying to
Actually not on a line anywhere. I'm not on contact 469. I just searched types of humans.
Mm-hmm.
And
keep going with that. That was interesting.
Yeah, I will. Let's see. So insectoids would be human insectoid forms, their skin having a chitin quality.
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt you again. Is this from the Future Mankind site, though?
It is, yeah.
Okay, is it a particular contact report? Or
It says, hold on a second, I got to go in the garage.
Okay.
I I didn't know that people were going to be arriving. It's my girlfriend, her friend, and some kids, and it's I don't want to be it.
Yeah, I know. It's always that way. I mean, I tell you, the dog will start snoring, the phone will ring. It's always the same thing. It's always happens.
Okay. So, I mean, it's under a page called Humanoid Life Forms in the Known Universe.
Okay. I'll search for that. Go ahead.
So, insectoids. Then there's sauroids. That's human sauropod form, their skin resembling that of an elephant. Primatoid, human primate form with more hair on their skin than the Earth human. That's like that movie, The Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Condycoids, humanoids who are capable to move along through levitation, like the ones who were seen sitting on the roof of the Semyazi Silver Star Center.
Wow.
There's pteropods, who are human bird-like body with a long neck, face, and beak like a mouth, or beak-like mouth. Hydroids, human fish-like body who are living in the water but can leave it for longer periods. Thermoids, which are humanoids who are living in hot zones of a very high temperature. So maybe that's kind of like the fire sort of people. Frigoroids, human who are living in regions with very low temperatures. Aeroids, people who breathe poisonous gas are living in different gas environments, respectively.
Right.
Acoroids, humanoids of humanoid body whose skin is covered by a fine acid layer, as is the case with the Trillaner. That's probably the people who set their hand on the car. And then, let's see.
It's a long list.
You know,
yeah, it is. It keeps going. It's just there's like five more.
One point I'd like to just throw out here is this is a perfect example. Like, this list comes from Contact 469, but we don't have the complete translation, I don't think, on the Future Mankind site. So if you search in Contact 469, I couldn't find any of this.
Okay.
And for people who think this is too crazy or too outlandish, you know, to think of different kinds of beings in that sense, just look at what grows at the bottom of the ocean near those heat vents, you know, in boiling water, and they eat metal, you know, and their shells are made of metal and everything else. So I mean, it's not such a far fetch, if you ask me. So it doesn't take such a huge stretch of the imagination.
Go ahead and finish. Yep. These are really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's floroids, who human-like and diverse plant bodies. There are kentauroids, human life forms with part human, part horse-like bodies.
Wow.
Faunoids, bodies part human, part animals with hooves.
Goodness sakes.
Cheruboids, very light human life forms with wings with which are capable to fly. We've heard of stuff like that before. Seraphoids, this is the last one. Seraphoids, very light life forms with a human animal body with feathered wings by which are able to fly. So that's probably not a complete list of all.
It's probably not
different types. Because I mean, I know that there are people with very very slight differences than us that, you know, so there's probably millions actually. So, it says the non-humanoid life forms are called peregrine humanoids, which means strange humanoids. And then it says, note, there are no reptiloids disguised as members of governments, etc. on
Earth.
That's
great. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't try to discredit someone just because they're wrong on one point. You know what I mean? I mean, they may have 80% of what they say is really good and 20%. You just got to have your own filter. You know what I mean? Otherwise, we all would be idiots. And, you know, I mean, yeah. So anyway, I digress. But you know what's interesting? Just thinking about this, I wonder if on some worlds there might be cat-like humanoids, because cats have such an incredible curiosity. You know, I wonder if they eventually get a consciousness in some cases. And the other thing I wonder about is raccoons, because they have like little hands. And I wonder if you could have little raccoon type people, you know, that on some worlds, I'm just guessing, you know, just totally.
Well, it can be any variation of body parts. I mean, I don't think that matters as much, whether you're a fish or a, you know, fire breathing, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it's just where you're from, and that's what your genetics adapted to. And that's, you know, we know things grow in crazy places. So they have things growing on the other, on the outside of the space station, for crying out loud. So,
do they? You know, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. There's microbial life that they find on the outside of the space station. So it's mm-hmm. it's not such a far fetch to.
Oh, that's you know? Crazy. I mean, yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. We should be hearing about that every day.
Yeah, well, there you go, right? Where do you think lichens come from? They don't come from
that's incredible.
Earth. I mean, they travel through the cosmos.
In space, it can be like somewhere between 230 some degrees below zero to plus 230 degrees above, depending on whether you're in the sun or not.
And there's no oxygen.
It's a vacuum. There's no oxygen. And there's things living on the side of the space station. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't exactly. prove there's life in the universe, I don't know what does.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, this stuff, I don't know. People think it's so outlandish. Oh, it's so far-fetched. And how can you dare say such things? And oh, you're crazy. You're just going to whatever, end your life, your career, your this and that. Oh, really? I mean, come on, give me a break.
Rem,
use
what
your
you
brain
think,
cells.
What do you think about that, Rem? I've never heard that before. That's phenomenal.
I was actually trying to find something. I missed part of it, I think, because I'm not really sure.
Google.
So,
you were trying to Google it.
I was trying to find something else on the Future of Mankind website about different animals that exist throughout the universe that are related to the animals that we have here.
Okay. Well, you know, the interesting thing you brought up, too, is the life forms that are part human with part horse-like bodies. We've got all the stories of centaurs on the Earth. You know? Make sure.
And that's like, that was a similar, there was a, the wording was kind of similar. What is it? Is, I think they were called kentauroids. So that sort of sounds like centaur. Kentaur. Kentauroids, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And we talked, you also talked about the human bird-like body with the long neck and the face and the beak-like mouth. And there are ancient pictures.
Pteropods, yeah.
Yeah, there are ancient pictures from Sumeria and even I think partially from Egypt where there are these human like bird-like body. It makes you wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, it wasn't, I don't know. No, that may be not accurate. Anyway, yeah. So it's, I mean, I don't know what the big deal is. It's just such a fundamental part of biology that things evolve for their own environment. And that's just all there is to it.
Now,
I don't know. There's nothing different here on Earth about that.
Maybe you guys can remember this, but, when planets evolve, first the plant life comes.
Oh yeah.
And then isn't there a plant that evolves that is somewhat animal like? You know,
I don't know.
We have this.
I guess at one point there would have to be, yeah.
Yeah, there's an you know, we have these kind of plants now that will they have like jaws that'll trap
flies.
Yeah, yeah, and stuff like that. So I don't know. Makes me wonder.
The reason why you couldn't find that 469th contact is because, or why you couldn't find that list in the 469th contact is because that list is actually from the Questions of Billy from 2008. That's where it was.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I see,
that's where it originated from. So it was. Actually, James, who is the James Moore, who asked the question, who is the webmaster of Future Mankind, he asked, "What is the Pleiaran definition of a human being with regards to variations in physical appearance, please?"
Wow.
And then, so that was just the answer. It was just
off the top of his head.
Probably Christian. Well, he doesn't answer him. Christian Frenner answers it, and he sits down with Billy once a month, or he used to. They don't do it anymore, actually. But they would sit down once a month with the questions, and Christian would translate if Billy didn't understand. But Christian was the one who would always write everything down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a fantastic conversation that's spun for 50 minutes here. I've really enjoyed it.
We went from who is controlling the Earth to let's not care about that and just look at the whole universal picture.
Yeah.
Remind everyone what the universal picture is, and maybe they'll think about it. Yeah.
I wanted to pick up something that we talked about yesterday that Rem had brought up, and it's in the Way to Live book, and it's on page 256, and it talks about the grasping and the holding, and the grasping and the holding are the sources of all human problems, but the grasping and the holding on cannot be coordinated with the becoming and the passing. And I wanted to pick up on that conversation, Rem, because I was thinking that, you know, as we get older, we lose some of our strength, we lose some of our speed, we even lose some of our hair, we gain body fat, our hormone levels decrease. And we want to hold on to all the capabilities that we had when we were younger. But even though we have a greater knowledge now and a greater capacity for life, we have to let go of all those circumstances of life. We have to realize that our car is going to wear out. Many of our aspects of our house are going to wear out. Our pets are going to die. Our people we love are going to die off. So Billy is saying that holding and grasping onto these things, it conflicts with our ability to die well and to let go during the passing. And I wondered if you could comment on that.
Oh, really? I hadn't thought about that. Our ability to die well, or to die like in a state of peace.
Sure. Because we're conflicted about letting go of all of these things that we've got to let go of. And
it also prevents us from being able to create new projects, new ideas, new thoughts, for sure. I had that situation actually quite recently with a member of my band or whatever who decided after 13 years, I knew it would happen, but that he would just go off and bugger off and, you know, leave whatever, leave the project and so on. So I was anticipating that for a few years, and I knew it would come, but you know, it's still like, it was a kind of like, moment, you know, and it's like, okay, so now what? And then, but it, now that I look back at it, it's really helped me to lose some of those bad habits that I got from him and kind of recreate certain aspects of what I'm doing and so on. And actually, it's been quite freeing and nice. So, And same thing, like when I was younger, I would hold on to ideas or whatever of situations that would never obviously pan out because, you know, I was suicidal, first of all, or whatever, or not Christian, and, you know, certain Christians wouldn't date me or this kind of stuff when I was a kid, you know, or not a kid, but like a teenager growing up and so on. And so at the time I was holding on to that, and the further away I get from that stuff, the better my life is, man. It's just don't hold on, just recreate.
Rem, what were you thinking? I remember you had a
Yeah, with the holding on and the grasping being the source of all problems, human problems. I mean, I when I read that, I immediately thought of a friend of mine who is a really dear friend of mine in my first year of college, and who influenced my art making quite a bit. Had the most influence on my art, and I'm an artist by trade now. And I often think of the way that the influence is still lasting. And how I've tried to reach out to this person and they just don't want to have anything to do with me anymore. And
isn't that, I've experienced that. You're not alone. Isn't that the weirdest feeling in the world?
Yeah. And that we never had a falling out or anything like that. And the last time, it was a girl, we never had any romantic things either. So there, that wasn't part of it. So it was, but it was like the last time I had, tried to get a hold of her and succeeded, she was like, "Oh, that's so good to hear from you. I'm just in London recording." She's a musician.
Oh.
And, I'm just, recording or doing some stuff in London, and, it's so good to hear from you. And we got to catch up at some point. And so I tried to follow up on that a few times and never heard anything back.
Yeah.
Just here and there over the course of a number of years. And then I found out that she was getting married, and I was like, "Hey, I'd like to make a painting for you guys for your house as a wedding gift." And
wow.
And she finally got back to me, and she's like, "Please." She basically excommunicated me, and I was like, "What the heck is that all about?"
Wow.
You know, like, please do not contact me. I'm blocking you on all of my social media. And I'm like, whoa, that's like totally out of the blue for me.
Isn't it strange? Why do people become bitter or angry? I've had those same kind of experiences. I don't know what that's about, other than sometimes I think they have their own issues. They're dealing
maybe. I mean, I can only guess because I can't really ask, you know, can't really find out. But it's been like, that was like 2.5 years ago that I got that shocking message, and that it wasn't even correct. It was like from the last 10 years, I haven't been talking to you. You should take the hint. And it's like, but that wasn't even 10 years ago that you sent me that message, and you were like, "Hey, we should. I would love to reconnect." So that was like 5 years ago. Or 6 years ago, maybe. anyhow, that really threw me into a spiral of terrible feelings and emotions for over a year at least. I'm still holding on a little bit of it, but to it.
Well, you question why, right? Like,
yeah, why?
It's natural, obviously.
Yeah, but it's like the grasping and holding on are the sources of all human problems. And I guess I just got to like let it go, right?
Wow. So. I've experienced the same thing, the same kind of thing. And it's always weird. You think, what in the world is causing this strange behavior? You know, it seems so foreign. And it can be very painful. Very, very painful.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like what I was reading the other day is that everyone has a different version of you in their minds from everybody else. So,
oh, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Well, it sure made me think about it because somebody close to me had this version of me in their minds for years, apparently recently, that I just talked to. And it was completely off the scale. Like, I was like, where the hell did you get all this information? It's just that it never even happened. So, I mean, geez. So, you know, and they base their feelings and their whatever towards me about all based on all that stuff. And I'm just like, my goodness. I mean, could you at least, you know, be kind enough to check first and ask or something, you know, just, you know, communicate a bit or geez. So just pulling it right out of their bum crack. I mean, it's just anyway, yeah, so that's I think sort of an accurate perspective on things. Like, everyone that you know has their own perspective about you, and I know that my Fugu friends sure have a better perspective of me than a lot of the Christian people that I grew up with, I'll tell you that much. Think I'm going to hell and all think that I'm, you know, this evil whatever, blah blah blah, whatever, who cares.
It's a thermoid. So,
thermoid?
Coming out of the fire? Is that the person that...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not one of those winged creatures with the feathery wings, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Jeez, eh? So, yeah. No, when a lot of the times too, I realize that when people treat me like crap, I look at how they treat other people. And oftentimes they treat other people exactly the same way. And then I realize, like, I've realized this countless times, and I'm just like, oh, okay, so it's not about me.
Well, it's not about me. You bring a really good point up there. And what I was thinking is where it says in the Might of Thoughts that the people of the earth are ill in their consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So now think about if you never had, if you've never read The Psyche, or if you never read The Way to Live, or you never read The Mind of Thoughts, how you might treat somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still had the calculations and stuff that I grew up with, or grew up, you know, in my later teens having, and I never read those books, but it was still in my consciousness, and in many degrees at least. So I always tried to treat people well and gave people the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, it's funny, like, yeah, I would, you know, even Christians and stuff growing up, I always treated them just like human beings. And I thought, well, love is universal and all this kind of stuff. And I got burned for it, you know, so they totally burned me. Like, they roasted me completely and just made me like out to be this completely worthless human being. Who's going to hell anyways, so why do anything with him? Or, you know, so that was, yeah, but, you know, you still got to keep going. Don't stop.
The on the flip side of that, I think I've talked to you about this before, Daniel, but I last year had some Jehovah Witnesses coming over, and, you know, I talked to them about the Bible because I think the Bible has really some interesting stuff in it. And they ended up coming back two or three times, and they would bring people from their church. You know, usually somebody at a little higher rank would join them each time. And, you know, I was planting these little seeds in there, you know, in our discussion, and they would get this real puzzled look on their face. So, and I was real friendly and gracious with them. But I had some Jehovah Witnesses a couple weeks ago, and I didn't do so well. I wasn't very... a neutral positive, you know, I really slammed him right away. I don't know what happened to me, but I brought up the whole thing with Genesis and Cain killing Abel, and then Abel going to the land of Nod. Where did the land of Nod come from? Why was he building a city? Where, you know, where did all these people come from? Where does the wife come from? You know, oh, well, you know, Adam was 930 years old. And I said, yeah, that's possible, and maybe... they had a whole bunch of babies, but why doesn't it say that? It doesn't say that, does it? And then I went on. Yeah, it doesn't say that. So I went on to Numbers 31 with the whole killing all the Midianites and killing women and the children, keeping the virgins for yourself and taking sex slaves. And that's when the lady ran. She literally ran back to her car.
Really?
Yeah, I felt pretty bad, actually.
Did she say anything, or did she just run away?
She got this terrified look on her face, and she goes, I have to go. I have to go. She left.
Oh, man.
The other guy was really – so I wasn't exactly – I don't know. I must have been in a bad mood or something. I just didn't do very well that day. But I think you can present – if someone's bold enough to knock on my door and present me their –
yeah.
worldview, I'm going to be bold enough to give them my worldview.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I think that's perfectly fair.
Exactly.
You're not going
on
their
own.
You're not knocking on their door.
Yeah, I didn't knock on. Yeah, exactly.
You're at their house. You're at your house. So, but yeah, that's the what did you say, Mark? The earth humanity is sick in its consciousness.
Yeah. Maybe I can look at that real quick. Go ahead. Continue.
Have you seen? I think it's in Askett's contact reports. Askett's explanation. Let's see if I can find it. It's in Askett's explanation, part one, mm-hmm. And it says to elaborate on what you said there, that the Earth human is sick in its consciousness. Askett was saying that thereby false extraterrestrial religions are to name as the worst factors by which all reality and truth is denied and condemned. In this respect, the Earth must be described as a unique place in all areas of the universe known to us, and on all worlds known to us, as a carrier of such degenerated, unreal ideologies. Such insane ideologies and religions do not exist anywhere else as they rage here on this Earth.
You know, I've read that before, and I have a mental block that kind of goes up when I hear that, because I think it's my religious programming is still there. Isn't that odd?
Huh.
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't, I don't even bat an eyelash when I hear that. It's just, yeah, obviously.
And then she gets into that very interesting thing about the Tunguska event and all that's fascinating. That's story.
Yeah. Well, just think about it in a probabilistic standpoint. Like, could you imagine every planet that supports life in the universe evolving insanely stupid like ours with this much technology and this much volatility and anger and blah, 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 and just ego and greed and everything?
Greed, oh my goodness.
We've also been messed with, there wouldn't, too.
Yeah, well, exactly. There wouldn't be a single planet in the universe if we have all evolved this way that would still exist. If we all evolved this way, the universe probably wouldn't exist. So as you were saying with the Tunguska thing, that was an event where a ET group did come to Earth and took away some of our Christian beliefs and brought them to their own world, which degenerated completely into huge wars and destroyed not just their own solar system, but solar systems around theirs. And I think it was the whole galaxy or something. I don't remember.
Well, people ask, well, how come that hasn't happened here? Well, we don't have the technology that they did. They had like technology to be able to destroy a planet. We don't really have that. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it was
taken away from us in 1974.
Right. There is that too, but that's another story. But, but they got Christianity, they got a hold of that, and they said, as a life form still very spiritually underdeveloped and in consciousness, the Earth humans were able to throw these foreign life forms into doubt and to sow discord among them. Yet, was that any wonder then if it's considered that very highly developed life forms are... that very highly developed life forms in from foreign galaxies visit the Earth, and then here suddenly are instructed that they, as a race which has developed very far, are to have been disadvantaged by creation because allegedly creation personally made itself known to a still very underdeveloped race, and they themselves, as a much higher life form, were passed over. So they got jealous because they thought that this was actually a true thing.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah, that's ridiculous, eh? Yeah, but that's exactly, wow.
Where was the blame to be found here, that creation created its only begotten son and transferred him to Earth to a poor, underdeveloped people and did not create this only begotten son for the much higher developed life forms?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, they could have even brought him, you know, into China. That would have been more evolved part of the world at the time, so who knows. So yeah, I just I can't imagine,
you know. That reminds me, Rem, that we, it's not going to be this time, but we maybe the next time I want to talk about the Talmud of Emmanuel, the new one, and some of the new information, since I don't have it. And it's interesting, you were talking about selfishness, or maybe it was Daniel, I forget, selfishness and things like that on the Earth. I just came across some statistics. You know Jeff Bezos, don't you, Rem?
Right, yeah. He makes like $230 million every minute.
$3,128 per second.
Huh.
That's about $900,000 per minute, $11.5 million an hour.
And all of his employees are like starving.
No, but I was thinking if he makes $80 million per day, and then if you figure out what it is per week, it's in the billions. This guy could end homelessness on, right. on you know, in the United States with what he makes in a couple of weeks, probably.
He could buy a country. He could do whatever he wants. He could buy a mountain.
Yeah.
I want that mountain.
So this, when you talk about the degeneracy, which you were reading there from Ask It, I bet this kind of thing doesn't exist on these other planets either, where one person makes $3,128 per second.
Probably not.
You know, that's so absurd.
And if they do, they would have to re-put that back into the system in some helpful way and not just hoard it and buy jets and crap.
Right. So let me read this quickly just from the Might of Thoughts. And this was written by Elizabeth Moosberger in 1997. She said, so the book which lies before you is dedicated to a humankind which is ill in its consciousness so that it again finds the creational natural way which it lost a long time ago. That was one of the things that first like threw cold water on me as I was reading this book. I just thought I would share that with you. But wow, we've gone way over time, but
10 minutes.
Yeah, it's been pretty typical. But you guys want any closing thoughts or closing statements?
Well, I guess the original topic of this call was about that whole crazy company, whatever
right.
it's called.
Yeah, we'll have to get back to that again. By the way, we.
Yeah, no, well, I'm glad we digressed into these, you know, topics that, you know, sort of remind people that maybe there is a bigger universe out there and there are things to think about that might change, you know, our perspective on how we deal with each other and deal with other situations that need to be dealt with. And so maybe not killing a bunch of people is maybe the better way to do it, you know, maybe helping people live a better life is a better way to do it. So educating people not to have 1,000 kids or, you know, whatever.
Sounds like a good idea to me, Remy.
Go ahead.
If you had another statement, go ahead and finish your thought.
No, there. I was just watching Monty Python yesterday and the whole the meaning of life, the part where they're singing, where the dad comes in and he's got like who knows how many hundred kids in his house and they're all his and he's Catholic and they're going into the Catholic philosophy of everything and how every sperm is sacred and every sperm is great and all this kind of stuff. And my wife was just shaking her head. She's like, this is the most ridiculous song I've ever heard. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's the Catholic, you know, philosophy for you. So that's pretty much
really?
It.
They think all sperm is sacred?
Well, you know, they don't want you to wear condoms. They don't want you to, you know, have any birth control. They want you to keep populating the world, go forth and multiply, all this crap. So, yeah, they don't seem to think that there's an overpopulation problem or, you know, whatever. So it's just a bunch of nonsense.
Well, that would be another good discussion for sure. Rem, closing thoughts.
I was just kind of thinking about how depressing that could be if that Serco thing is true. I'm not depressed by this spring. This spring is a very beautiful time. And I've been really marveling at nature and all the leaves popping up and all of the flowers. And that's probably all you can do to kind of, you know, one of the things you can do to counter the depression or the depressing things that you learn about.
It's just being neutral positive, right? Being educated and taking educated decisions.
Yeah.
Our conversations for me are always uplifting.
Yeah.
Well, all of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. So that's kind of like part of those three golden rules out of the psyche: you should not keep your head down, but always be looking up and gaining new impressions and insights from looking at nature, and keep a smile on your face and your head held high, right?
Yeah, just realize that, you know, all these bad experiences are just good, you know, physics lessons. We can learn from them. So let's learn.
Yeah. And to truly live means learning.
Yeah.
Mm.
So There's nothing depressing about it, I find.
I love that. That's one of my favorite statements Billy's ever made. It's in Love Letter 27, I think it is, the one you just quoted.
Yeah, and then the to truly live means learning. That's from number 363 out of the Way to Live. That's from later on in that little verse there, like on the second page, I think.
Now, you guys are passive members, right? So you could get the, get the entire Love Letter 27 and read it then, right?
Well, we're passive members, yeah, but I don't think that I'm not part of the spiritual teaching. I don't have a subscription to the actual spiritual teaching, like the one that's like a course. So I think that's, yeah. I wouldn't be able to get it. I was thinking about that too. I would like to do that.
You can't really share that with, people who aren't really in it, because if it's just, you know, they, and I think that's reasonable, because people who really sign up for a course, they're there because they want to, and they're there because they're ready for it, and they're, you know, they're wanting it. So to just talk about it, you know, openly and to a bunch of people who might not be interested in that subject, I think it would be not entirely useful. So,
but I think it's like a 30-year course, isn't it? Like, when you get something every
4 months,
4 times a year, right?
Yeah, every three months. Every 4 months, I think. But yeah,
every 4 months.
I think. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe it's 4 times a year. Anyway, whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. So
a 30-year course. My goodness.
Yeah, it's a 30-year course.
Learning about consciousness, yeah, your own consciousness, how to take care of that and use it to its maximum potential. So that's, I think, quite a useful subject and quite an in-depth one, not one that you learn in 1 year and get a degree. So,
okay, I'm going to press save and I will post this. It might take 20 minutes, half an hour, but it'll be up on the site soon. I want to thank both of you guys. It's been great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Mark.